Let's bring in the Commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. Good morning, Mr. Commissioner.
How are you?
Doing well. You know what? I got to tell you something. If you're going to have the winter meetings at a Gaylord property, this is the one to do it. I know you don't make the call entirely, but this, between us, just between us, this is much better than Nashville.
Well, I'm glad that you liked the location that was picked for the winter meetings. It was something that was preying on me this morning. I was just thinking, I wonder if they liked the location we picked for the winter meetings. So I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah, he's going to like it even more in 2 years when it's in Vegas.
Yeah. So, well, it is an interesting property in Washington, the whole little village and everything, sort of a little different. It's nice.
It's like this whole place was built just for conferences and conventions. It's like a community of hotels and restaurants.
There's some condos and MGM centers. MGM's opening its casino tonight here.
$1,000 city.
$1,000 to the first 1,000 customers.
Wow.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
You might want to come back.
I don't want you to confess to anything, but are you going over for that?
No, I'll be on the plane by then. I have to be home. I'll be safely in the Blair residence at that time.
That is a safe place.
It is indeed. It always shelter from the storm, et cetera, et cetera. It's funny, Rob. One of the talking points around here all week has been sort of the continuing march towards a more youthful baseball, if you want to call it that. Teams obviously have always valued young pitchers and young position players, but it seems as if it's really more than ever become the currency of the realm. I think we had Ned Colletti on yesterday, and Ned made the point that, he said, I can remember when I was a GM and 38 was playing like 28. He said, and now 28's playing like 28 and 38's playing like 38. Does that present Major League Baseball, Rob, with just an absolute golden marketing opportunity that you've got so many good young players at one time?
Oh, yeah. There's no question that we are really fortunate in terms of the group of players that have entered the game the last few years. Young, exciting, expressive, engaged, and most important at the end of the day, really talented on the field. I do think that part of the Cubs phenomenon that we saw in the postseason, obviously a lot of it related to 108 years and history and all that, but I think the other part of it related to the group of young players that they have there, the enthusiasm that they bring to the field.
I like that you specifically are pointing out that enthusiasm and that expressiveness, because I think there still exists a, I don't know if I want to say old guard or whatever, in baseball that really, really doesn't like that stuff. But the fans love it, and I think that, as we evolve and as we move farther into the 21st century, I think that expressiveness and that enthusiasm isn't meant to insult opponents or show anybody up. It's you don't run the no fun league, and that's a wonderful thing.
Well, look, I think that I find this conversation actually to be a little amusing, right? The idea that our game, in terms of the unwritten rules on the field, was not going to change in response to a new generation of players. That was unrealistic to expect that, right? Every generation of players defines what the unwritten rules of acceptability and unacceptability are on the field. The group that's out there is really different than the group that was out there 25 years ago. But I have faith in the idea that they're going to develop their own unwritten rules that promote the type of behavior that fans find to be entertaining on the one hand, yet show respect for the game, its history and traditions on the other.
Rob, I can remember winter meetings, your predecessor every now and then would come out and just rail against the amount of money that was being spent, or Sandy Alderson would come out and rail against the amount of money being spent, and it was almost like part of the scenery at the winter meetings. You don't do that, And I know a lot of that it could be a stylistic thing, but is it also just a reflection that the game is healthy enough right now, Rob, that you almost trust your owners and general managers more? If I can put it that way.
Look, the game is very, very healthy. There's no question about that. I don't do it because I see player spending as a matter of responsibility, right? We put the best system in place that we can. We generate as much revenue as we can. And I believe that the individual clubs make responsible decisions about what they're going to spend. And I don't think it's really my place, role, and I don't think it's actually appropriate for me to go out there and say that, the decision that the New York Yankees made that they believe is good for the New York Yankees is bad for the industry for some reason. I just don't think that's appropriate.
We're with Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. And Rob, I want to ask you about the new CBA. I know it's been gone over and over, and people are looking for who won, who lost, and I think that's a little silly to be talking about this early on in a process. And I hope it's more about the health of the game and everything than one side winning or losing, even though you guys all want what you want. But one thing that didn't happen were some of the major pace of play changes that we had heard about in those rumors while the discussions were going on. The point to first for an intentional walk, which I'm very thankful for, did not happen. But I wanted to ask you about mound visits, because for me that's the one thing that slows the game more than anything else, and we saw it so often in the playoffs where you bring in a new pitcher and he throws his warm-up pitches and then the catcher goes out to the mound 6, 7, 8 times over a couple of innings span. Do you see that as an issue along with the other things that you're concerned about for pace of play?
Well, let me start with the that was a long question, so let me start with the biggest picture issue. The basic agreement is 298 printed pages, okay? And there are certain economic systemic issues that have to be resolved in the negotiations. There's lots and lots of them, literally hundreds of issues on the table. The pace of play changes are really playing rules issues. And unlike the economic issues that I was talking about earlier, there is a provision in the basic agreement for dealing with playing rule changes during the term. So what do those two things add up to? What those two things add up to, excuse me, is that, you have to deal with the economics, the big picture items at the big table when the agreement is open. More realistic to think playing rule changes relating to pace of play would be handled midterm under the playing rule change provision in the basic agreement. So I don't want you to mistake the fact that we didn't announce a bunch of changes to a lack of commitment on pace of play. It's something that we will be back at during the term of the agreement. With respect to the specific issue you raised, I am with you 100%. I think mound visits, catcher mound visits, pitching coach visits, manager visits are a real source of delay in the game. I have yet to be convinced that any information that is passed on in those visits, or that there is a significant amount of information passed on in those visits that really matters to the play of the game. And it is a topic that we will continue to think about and focus on.
Rob, how important is this year for the concept of the World Baseball Classic? There was a report out there that both you and the Players Association are sort of really doing a hard assessment of where this thing is going and where it might go. Are we at a point where this thing has to be a financial success this year? And how would you grade it as a financial success? In other words, what would have to happen for it to be classified as a financial success?
No one ever believes me when I answer questions like this way, but I will tell you, we have always, from the very first one, made money on the WBC, eight-figure money. So financials, point one. Point two is this was never about financial success from day one. This was about growing the game, promoting the game internationally. Having said that, putting the finances to one side, I do think you're correct to the extent that you sense a special focus on our part and on the MLBPA's part with respect to this event. That focus is really driven by our desire to have a first-class international event from a competitive perspective. And I am really excited about the early returns. I think the quality of the players that you're seeing making early commitments to the WBC is the best we've ever had. And I think that it really portends a great WBC in March.
Rob Manfred, we can't let you go without asking you about the question that everyone on our side of the border seems to want to know about, it that you get asked about all the time, I know, and you'll get asked about again in March, but Montreal and the potential return of Major League Baseball to Montreal. I understand that there's the whole chicken and egg stadium issue, but part of this CBA was more international stuff. What are your thoughts about the potential return of Major League Baseball to Montreal?
Look, I am a believer that Montreal could support a Major League team with an appropriate stadium. Very open to the idea of returning to Montreal. I think all I can tell you in terms of timetable, before we think about going to any other city, the situations in both Oakland and Tampa have to be resolved one way or the other. It's just not realistic to think we're going to expand until we get those two teams resolved. But I'm positive about Montreal, remain that way, and hope someday we'll have Major League Baseball back there.
Mr. Commissioner, we really appreciate you joining us today. Thanks for your time, and have a great holiday season.
All right, you guys too. Thanks again.